We're very glad to see you all at the Gospel Service tonight. We thank you for your presence. We're turning to the hymn 215 as we commence this evening. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not, my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. 215, please, we'll stand together as we sing. Let's just pray together, please. We'll lift our hearts to the Lord. Father, we remember that you've exhorted us in your word that it's time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. We praise thee for the opportunity to seek your face at the throne of grace just now. Give us the desire, Father, to wait before thee, to persist, to continue at the throne of grace until the heavens open and those showers of blessing come down upon us. You've said that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. We pray, Father, give us a desire just to seek your face, to really pray through until the answer we would gain. We ask even now that you'll strengthen us. We want to pray for a touch from God in the service tonight. We acknowledge, Father, even the drain, the demands upon our energy and our strength with all the labours of each day. We're thankful for the first day of the week. we're able to come aside from the business of this life. We're thankful, Father, that we're able to spend the day with God, give it to the public and private exercises of thy worship. We're glad, Father, we've been in your house today. Thank you for the meetings. We praise thee for the service this morning, for the hand of God upon the gathering. Thank you for the challenge of your word to our hearts. Help us to ponder those things that we heard. We want to pray, Father, that we would not be forgetful hearers. We pray for a greater burden for those that are out of Christ. Renew, Father, upon our hearts just that vision, that understanding of their lost condition. We pray, Father, we'll never be indifferent to the condition of lost souls. We pray for a greater zeal even to go after souls for Christ. Remember one of a former time described as been out of breath, running after souls for the Saviour. Lord, we ask that we would have that burden to reach the lost, to go after men and women and their sins. Pray that you'll use us. We ask that you use us each one, even during this week. Use this church throughout this year. Lord, we think of the words in that text this morning, that my house might be full, and that my house might be filled. And Lord, we bring thy house before thee at this time, this building even in which we're gathered tonight, and every such house of God across the land. And Lord, there's so many empty places, so many empty seats, a sad reflection upon the spiritual state of our land and our nation in the days in which we're found. We thank, Father, for an increasing population all around us, so many more people in the land, so many more people even coming into this land of ours from other nations, the mission field, the harvest field that there is all around us. And yet, Father, sadly, less and less interest in the house of God and in the things of the Lord. Lord, we cry for your grace. So many discouragements in the days in which we're found. Help us not to listen to the devil's discouragement. Help us to keep our eyes upon the Saviour. Help us to rest upon the promise of your word, the encouragement of those promises. May they strengthen us. And Lord, we ask thee for your grace to continue faithful even in the spiritually barren days in which we're found. Our desire, Father, is that we'll be faithful all our days. Save us, Father, from falling and from going astray. As the book of the Revelation says, our desire is to be faithful unto death, knowing that you will give to us the crown of life. We need your grace, Father, to that end. Pray as a church that we'll continue faithful in the work to which you've given us. Faithful, Father, in the preaching of the gospel, the clear presentation of the word of God. We look to thee to own the preaching of the gospel here, Father, in this city. We want to pray that there will be a greater interest, even as men and women are spoken to, as they're urged and encouraged and invited to come to gospel meetings. We want to pray, Father, that there'll be that desire. Take away every barrier. Take away every prejudice that is found in their hearts. Lord, we pray that you'll bring our city, our county, bring our nation again to those days when there is an interest in the house of God, when there is an ear, a hearing once more for the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. You've told us we're not to despise the day of small things. We recognize, Father, that even such days you're able to work. You're able to do great things, that the Lord is not limited to save by many or by few. And Lord, we want to pray that even in these days of small things that we'll see, they do great and mighty things for us as a church and as a congregation. And Lord, we rejoice that even in the day of small things, that the Lord is able to bless us and encourage us. We pray that you might do that. We're conscious that even such days are days of trial and days of testing. You bring us through such days, Father, to test our own hearts and our willingness to follow thee and to go on with God. We pray we'll not fail that test. We pray, Father, that we'll be found faithful unto thyself. And we want to pray, Father, encourage the hearts of your people here in this church. Strengthen the hands of all of the people of God. We pray you'll lead us on as a church. We pray that this year will be a year of increase for us. Let it be a year of progress. We pray you'll deepen our fellowship, draw us closer together. Lord, you've told us we have not because we ask not. Save us, Father, from not presenting our petitions clearly before thee. We plead, Father, for souls to be saved, even in the service tonight. We ask for new people to come into these meetings. We want to ask you'll continue to send in visitors. We pray you'll send in the young families, the children, for the meetings, the Sunday school and Bible classes, the children's meetings here, and down in Killaloe, the parent and toddler group, the youth fellowship. Oh God, we ask thee earnestly, add to all of these works. Lord, give us cause to praise thee. We pray that we'll have to stand back and acknowledge that this is the Lord's doing, that this is the hand and the very finger of God that has wrought these things. We thank you for every opening of the church, for what we heard on Wednesday night of the ministry of the media team. Thank you for the brethren engaged in that work, even quietly just at the back of the church. But so much that is taking place, help the brethren, give them wisdom. Pray that you'll use the broadcast even tonight. Lord, even as it goes out into this district, this area, but even as it goes to the very ends of the earth, we ask, Lord, that the number of people that are listening might increase, both at home and abroad. We pray there'll be a greater interest in these services. Lord, we know that you're able to do that. We ask thee to hear prayer. We know the challenges that the brethren face. We pray just give them every Lord's Day in the meetings the help that is needed. Pray that you'll prosper them. We pray that the challenges and problems might be few, that they might be able to overcome them quickly. And Lord, we just ask that you'll lengthen the cords, strengthen the stakes of the brethren. Remember that great promise our brother set before us on Wednesday night, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Help us, Father, to rest more upon that promise. Increase our faith. Help us to lean upon it even tonight. Do, Father, exceeding abundantly in this meeting. Do exceeding abundantly in this church this year above all that we could ask, Father, even think. Thank you for safekeeping over last weekend and even through the week, with all the gales, the storms, so much damage that took place. We take a moment, Father, to thank you for guiding our footsteps, and we thank you for your preserving hand that rested upon each one of us. And Lord, we commit ourselves into your keeping again for this new week. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and we ask that every step that we take will be one that will be led by thyself. Remember those that can't be here tonight, faithful supporters of this work, regular attenders, because of ill health, be near to them. May the presence of God be their experience, even some listening to the broadcast. We pray that they'll be blessed and encouraged as well. Hear our prayers, Father, now, and continue to guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 323, John Newton's great hymn of testimony, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. We're going to remain seated, and we'll sing verses 1 to 4, and then that famous, tremendous final verse, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. So verses 1 to 4, and then verse 7, remaining seated, please.
I once was lost.
We're turning together in the Word of God. We're in Luke's Gospel and the 15th chapter. We read this morning from Luke chapter 14. So we're just the chapter after, the next chapter, Luke chapter 15. We're reading at the end of the chapter together tonight. So we're in Luke chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 11. Remember, there's a story of the lost sheep and the lost coin. We're reading of the lost son. Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, this is the Lord Jesus, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. We'll end the reading there, the close of the chapter, and we're sure the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. We do want to welcome you all to our service tonight. We're very thankful of your presence, your support of our evening gospel meeting. Thank you for your faithfulness in coming. If you're visiting tonight, we're glad that you've been able to join us. We appreciate your support tonight. Pray that together we'll be blessed. We'll know the blessing of the Lord. It's good to see the children and the young people. We want to welcome you and thank you for your attendance and your faithful support of the meetings as well. And those that are watching our service on the live stream, we're glad you're able to join us. And we pray this meeting will be a help and a blessing. The Lord might speak to your hearts through it as well. Let me just remind you quickly of the meetings in the will of the Lord in the incoming week. 6:45 on Tuesday night is the two children's bright hours here in the church hall down in the band hall in Killalea. Remember our workers, pray for them. Remember to encourage the children to come along to the meetings. Tuesday also at 7:30 is the next meeting of the Kirk session of the church meeting on Tuesday evening in the minister's room of the church. Wednesday morning at 9:00, we're down in Killalea to speak at the school assembly. Remember us as we bring the message to the boys and girls. We would value your prayers. 8:00 on Wednesday night is our midweek service, the prayer meeting and Bible study, the powerhouse of the church. We encourage your support. We encourage you to come along. We would ask for a good, strong attendance at the midweek services right throughout this year. The Lord willing, I'll be here to lead and to speak at that meeting myself. Just remind you what we said this morning. The Lord willing, on Thursday morning, Roberta and I is going out to the United States for 3 weeks to visit Matthew and Emma and to see our little grandson Ewan for the first time, almost 3 months old. Matthew will be off. His wife just gets 3 months of maternity leave. So on Monday week, she is to go back to work, and then he gets some weeks off of paternity leave. So we thought it would be nice if we come out and spent that little bit of time with him, or a little bit of time while he's off. On the middle Lord's Day, we'll be preaching down in Winston-Salem. That's the Lord's Day, the 11th. It's about 110 miles or so west from Raleigh, the state capital where Matthew and Emma and Ewan live. So we value your prayers for the journey, for the trip as a whole, for the ministry out there in Winston-Salem as well. Remember that if you do need pastoral help, if there's an emergency during the time that we're away, contact one of the elders and they'll be able to help you and make the necessary arrangements. Friday at 8:00, the youth fellowship meeting here in the church, a home meeting. And one of our youth leaders, our brother Matthew Muldrew, will be speaking at the meeting. Also on Friday night, just to remind the elders, is the presbytery meeting down in Mullagh Glass on Friday evening at 8:00. So that's fairly local to ourselves here. Then next Lord's Day, the 2nd of February, the Sunday school and Bible class is at 10:40. 11:30 is the morning service. The preacher, the Reverend Alan Smiley, one of our retired ministers. He's still involved in the prison work and some other presbytery responsibilities. There is to be communion after the morning service. Mr. Smiley will conduct the communion service as well. 6:30 in the evening, our gospel meeting. It'll be a friends and family service, a testimony and a report from our good friend and brother, Mr. Noel Stevenson. I'll be disappointed not to be here when Noel comes to visit on this occasion. Some of you will remember one Thursday night that I was taking a meeting away when Noel came to visit, and I think the comment was, "You never laughed as much." That was the night that he fell asleep in the car and didn't come into the meeting till about 8:40, and told the whole story of what had happened to him. So we pray you'll not have a similar experience next Sunday night. But remember, our brother, his visits are always a blessing. That will be the start of the testimony month here. Every Sunday night through February, there will be a word of testimony given. The Reverend Curran here the following Lord's Day, preach in the morning, testify at night. The Reverend Baxter, Morris Baxter, will be here the following Lord's Day, so he will preach in the morning and testify in the evening. And he and Mr. Baxter will minister in song. And then the moderator's wife, Mrs. Karen Murray, will be here the final Lord's Day of the month. Remember, all of the special testimonies, make them known. Pray for the Lord's blessing. There will be a wee bit of supper next Sunday night for all that will be gathered. We ask the ladies just to help with that, a wee time of fellowship, an opportunity to speak with our brother. We understand he is an after meeting, a youth meeting down in Portadown afterwards, but he will have a wee bit of time just to fellowship with you after the meeting. And please remember the seasons of prayer. Keep in mind that we're asking or appealing for other ladies to help with the catering, to be involved in that ministry, just as many as possible, to help share out the load and share out the responsibilities. There is a sheet there in the porch. If you would like to help with that, we encourage you to put your name down as soon as possible. Remember just what we mentioned this morning about the gift aid scheme. If you're signed up for that and your tax circumstances change and you feel that you need to withdraw from the scheme, we understand that sometimes is necessary. There's no problem. We just ask that you make our brother, Mr. Billy Hill, aware of that as soon as possible. Remember the literature that's available both at the door here and in the porch, just on the cabinet as you leave on the left. Take a little time to look at the literature as you go from the meetings. Remind you that the Mission Board are celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. It falls on the 8th of March. So they've arranged and planning a short Mission Vision Conference back in May of 2022, coming out of COVID. They had a week long, or slightly over a week, of conference meetings. So this is just going to be half a week from the Wednesday to the Saturday, held down in the Lisburn Church. They will be opening their new hall complex on the previous Saturday, the 2nd. We appreciate them making their facilities available to the board so soon after their opening. It'll be good to have the use of those facilities. So there'll be meetings on the Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, special subjects. And then on the Saturday night, the moderator's going to come. That'll be a special rally, both looking back and looking forward as far as the Mission Board and the missionary work is concerned. So the details, there's an advert. We've put that up on the church Facebook page. It's up on the Mission Board Facebook page as well. So keep that in mind, and we encourage you, if you can, to go along to those meetings. Remember the building and vehicle appeal for Uganda. We showed the video for that this morning. Take one of the flyers if you haven't already done so. If you'd like to give to that, put your gift in an envelope, mark it for the building and vehicle appeal, put it in the offering plate over the next number of weeks. It doesn't necessarily have to be for a week or two. That'll be kept open for a few weeks, and then the next time the committee meets, they're going to take a look at the total that has come in and round that up and send a gift off then to the Mission Board. So we encourage you to give to that special missionary development in Uganda as generously as you can. Remember the Reverend Boyd, the Reverend Lyle Boyd. Remember, her brother originally came from down in Kilkeel. So his mother passed away. She was in her 92nd year. During the week, our brother had come home from the field to spend a little time with his mother and to give her some help and support. They did that just a little over a year and a half ago. So Mrs. Boyd's funeral was on Friday in the Kilkeel Presbyterian Church. And as a congregation, we want to sympathise with the Lord's servant and his family. And we commend him to you for your prayers, that the Lord will comfort them and be near to them just in these days. We're going to turn to the hymn 225. Please, we'll sing some verses to guide our thoughts as we come to the Word of God tonight. Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? 225. We're going to sing just the first two verses of the hymn, and we'll stand as we sing. To just bow briefly together again in prayer, please. Let's just take a moment. Father, we think of all of these meetings and activities. We commit them into your hands. We pray that you'll go with us into this new week. We know that except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. We acknowledge that we need thee to be with us. We pray, Father, for your hand upon every activity. We pray earnestly tonight for safety for all that come and go from these meetings. And we plead, Father, most of all for the salvation of all that come into this house, that all that sit in the meetings connected with this congregation. We pray, Father, bless us mightily with soul-winning times. We thank you for the word of God in our hands tonight. We pray that this will be an open book before us. We pray that the word of God will come to every heart tonight with power. We want to ask for an increased sense of your presence in our meeting tonight. We think of the words that we sang in that opening hymn about that lovely place called Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. We pray, Father, there'll be some in this meeting that by faith we'll get to Calvary tonight and experience that grace and that mercy of the Lord. Hear our prayers. You've assured us that our strength is made perfect in weakness. And Lord, we come in our weakness tonight and we pray for the touch, the strengthening touch. We pray for the enduing of thy Spirit to be upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 15, please. Words of the 13th verse we'll take as our text. It says of the younger son, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Most of you are familiar with Charles Dickens, the famous English writer. In your English classes at school, English literature classes in particular, you will have Heard a little about Charles Dickens. You'll have been encouraged to have read or to read and to study some of the works of Charles Dickens, David Copperfield and Oliver and so forth. On one occasion, Charles Dickens was asked what was the best short story in the English language. Remember that he was a man that was well read. He was a man that knew his personal acquaintances, some of the most famous writers of his day, was very familiar with their works and their writings. But the answer that he gave to that inquiry was the story of the prodigal son. The best short story in the English language. So that's quite a reference. That's quite a recommendation. Can I emphasize to you tonight that one of the reasons why this is the best story is because it teaches us the great gospel truth that there's no one who is too far down to experience God's mercy and to experience God's grace. And maybe men and women, someone in the gathering tonight, maybe this is your story. I emphasize to you there are still prodigals today. Not just prodigal sons. Mostly when we talk about prodigals, it's the sons that we have in mind because of the young man in this story. But remember, there are prodigal daughters as well. There are also what can be called prodigal brothers and prodigal sisters. And there's a sense in which this young man was both the prodigal son and the prodigal brother. Sometimes we say of a person, he or she is a prodigal. And what we mean by that is that that person, whether male or female, they live like the young man that we read of in this passage of Scripture. They left home, they're far away from home, and they're living their life in the depths of sin. So maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're a prodigal. Maybe you're one that can be described in this way. Maybe you have lived like this man. We could maybe use the past and the present tense in that regard. You have lived. Maybe you are living like this young man. This story sums up your life to this very point. If that is the case, then I want you to think with me tonight about a few of the details that we're taught here, that we're told, that are recorded here about the prodigal son. Notice, first of all, his love. If you look at verse 12 of the chapter, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. Notice the words, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. I emphasize the words, give me, the grabbing spirit of the young man. This prodigal's love was money. Isn't it true, men and women, that that is something that is very common, especially in the age, the society in which we are found, in which we live? If you think of it like this, this young man couldn't wait until his father was dead. Just think of how greedy he was. He wanted the inheritance. He wanted his share of the father's inheritance while the father was still alive. So that emphasizes to his the depth of his love for money, the extremity of the greed that was found in his heart. When we lived in Wales, we were out for a walk one evening in the famous Pembrey Park down in South Wales, not far from where we live. We met an older couple from Wales. We got into conversation, or an older couple from England, rather. We got into conversation with them, and they were enjoying their retirement, travelling here and there, holidaying in different places. Their children were getting a little bit concerned, and the children kept repeating to them, telling them often, don't be spending too much of our inheritance. There is an abbreviation for that, SKI, S-K-I, spending kids' inheritance. Isn't there a wee bit of the love of money, greed for money, and that sort of attitude? So you think of this young man, couldn't wait until his father was dead. Think of the covetousness, isn't it? So evident, so evident in what he says, in his lifestyle, in his attitude. A question that is sometimes asked is, how much did he get? It says there at the end of verse 12, the father divided unto them his living. So how much did the young man get? According to the book of Deuteronomy, he got a third. The older brother was to get the double portion of the inheritance. I'm not going to turn to the reference. I'll give it to you. You might like to read it and study it a little later, Deuteronomy 21, verse 17. But the older son got the double portion. So this young man got a third of his father's inheritance. I think we could put it like this. This young man got a small fortune. But the sad thing is, his heart was taken up with money. Money was his god. Money was his idol. And maybe you're the same. All that matters to you, all that you live for, is money, for riches, for the wealth of this world. If that is the case, let me remind you this evening of the warning of the Saviour. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Isn't it true, men and women, that the world's estimate of how successful you are, how well you're doing, is the possessions, the wealth, the property, the riches, the show of wealth that you can put on for others? But that's contrary to the teaching of the Bible. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. Let me emphasize to you tonight, money is not everything. Money is not the most important thing. Money is not the most valuable thing that you have in this world and in this life. It's good to see that, to understand it. And I emphasize to you that it doesn't matter how much money you have. There's no guarantee that money will make you happy. You only have to read the lives of the celebrities, read the stories of the lives and the behavior of those who are multi-millionaires, some of them billionaires, and their wealth has not given them happiness, and it has not brought them a satisfaction. Can I remind you tonight, men and women, that you can't take your money with you? Just ponder that tonight. Regardless of how much of it you have and how much property you will possess when you die, you're going to leave it all. You're going to leave it all behind. Paul said to young Timothy, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, just as certain as you're going to die, it's certain that we will carry nothing out. You'll leave this world the same way you came. You came empty-handed, and you'll leave empty-handed as well. The psalmist reminds us that when we die, we leave our wealth to others. And you will do the same, whether you do it deliberately, through the provisions of a will, or whether someone else can take advantage of the circumstances. When you die, you will leave your wealth, all of it, and you will leave it to others. I emphasize to you, men and women, there are things in this world that are far more important, far more valuable than money, and your soul is the chiefest of those. And we urge you tonight to think, to look to your soul. Remember the words of the Savior, what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Just take time tonight to consider carefully the reality of your soul being lost, your soul being lost in hell, and your soul being lost forever for all of God's eternity. Knowing, men and women, that it's well with your soul, knowing that you can put your head on the pillow in peace, knowing that if you died tonight and you went out into eternity, it would be well with you forever. That's more important. That's more valuable than all the riches, all the wealth of this world. Can I ask you, do you know that tonight? Do you have that peace that it's well with you, well with your soul? Remember, money cannot save you. Money cannot save your soul. Money cannot get you into heaven. Money cannot buy you God's salvation. There are many rich people in hell. Perhaps the greatest example of that is in Luke chapter 16. The rich man died. He also died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. The lesson, the warning, men and women, is that money is of no use. Money is of absolutely no value. When you come to die, go out into eternity and come to stand before God. So the young man, the prodigal's love, think as well of his longing. Verse 13 says, not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. So the young man had a longing. He had a desire. What was that desire? It was to get away from home. Isn't it true that that often happens, men and women? It's a sad thing when a young person wants to leave home. The fact is, let me impress this on you tonight, when it takes place, it's not always the young person that is to blame for wanting to leave home. Sometimes it's the manner in which they're treated in the home. Why do young people want to leave home? Well, there's many answers could be given to that. One reason, one answer I'll give to you tonight is this young man got away from home because he didn't want his father to see how he was living. He didn't want his father to know what he was doing especially with his money and doing with his life. Isn't that a sad thing, men and women? Don't want parents to know what you're up to. So you move out and you move away. Let me remind you of this reality. You can get away from your parents, get away from their view, get away from their eyes, but you can never get away from God. Always remember that, men and women. You can never hide from his view. Remember that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they cut the fig leaves, they were hiding. They were hiding from God there among the bushes of the garden. And man in his sin has been trying to hide from God ever since. But let me remind you, you can never hide from God's view. Doesn't matter how far you go, what extremity of the earth you travel to, how high up or how low down, how far away, how obscure the place may be, how hard you try, you can never get away from the eyes of God. Remember Hagar away out there in the wilderness. Thou, God, seest me. It's good to ponder that. Remind ourselves of that tonight. The scriptures teach us that all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All things are naked and open. Even your heart. There's nothing hidden. God can see the very thoughts, the very desires and imaginations of your heart. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, beholding the evil and the good. It's not a very relevant text when we think of a young man going into the far country. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So it doesn't matter what country. It doesn't matter if it's a country at the furthest extremity of the globe. The eyes of the Lord will follow you, and the eyes of the Lord will see you there. God sees everywhere, and God sees everything. Parents may never know. They may never be aware, may never see the half of what you do and how you live. But remember that God sees all you ever did. God sees all that you ever will do. And remember, there's what the Bible describes as the day of judgment, especially for the unconverted person. Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne, that's going to be a day of answering, a day of accounting, a day of reckoning. Solomon warns in the book of Ecclesiastes that for all these things, that's talking about the way you live, your lifestyle, your sin, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And that truth, men and women, young people tonight, should trouble you, should concern you. That's a solemn truth. We'll all stand before God. That's a sobering thought, that one day you will have to answer to him for the life that you have lived. His longing. The third thing I'll emphasize about the prodigal is his lifestyle. You have it there at the end of verse 13, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Just think of those two words, riotous living. What a description of his conduct. We could say tonight, he lived a wild life. He was a wild man in that far country. The Bible says of Ishmael, the son of Abraham by Hagar, the Bible specifically describes him as a wild man. He was a prodigal son as well. And this prodigal son was wild in his lifestyle. What those words, riotous living, the idea, the meaning, is that there was no control in his life. He didn't hold back on anything. He was a young man that was totally abandoned to sin, to wickedness. There are absolutely no restraints in his life. He's a young man that ran after sin and pleasure, and he ran after those things with all of his heart. We can't read too much into the passage. Sometimes we do that. But we can't read too much into the passage. It's certainly clear he indulged in sin. If you look at verse 30 of the chapter, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. That indicates he had been immoral. He had been to the brothel. So he's a young man that lived a sinful life. Everything that money could buy, everything that the world had to offer, he gave himself to it. He indulged in those things. In the Bible, the word consecrate, it has the idea of your hands being full. Who then is willing to consecrate a service this day to the Lord? That's the challenge that King David brought to the Israelites many years ago. Consecrate or fill his hands with the service of the Lord. That ties in with our theme this morning of going out to serve Christ, going out to plead with souls, our hands full of the work of God, the work of soul winning. But here's a young man, and his hands is full of sin. His hands is full of evil. His hands are stained black with his sin, with his iniquity and his conduct. Some of you remember the days in school when the hands were checked. You had to hold your hands out, turn them over, back and front, just to see how clean your hands were. If your hands happened to be black or grubby or dirty, you're immediately sent off to wash them, to clean them. Just think of your hands. Your hands tonight, spiritually. Your hands stained with your lifestyle, stained with your sin. This young man's lifestyle was sad and shocking, men and women. And maybe you're the same. Live like the prodigal. You're guilty of a life of riotous living. You think of last night, the places you were, the company that you kept, even where you intend to be tonight or maybe tomorrow as well. Your life has been dark. Your life has been black. You're ashamed, or you would be ashamed, if others knew even a fraction of the things that you've done in the life that you've lived. If that is true of you tonight, let me tell you confidently some good news. In fact, let me tell you confidently the best news that you will ever hear. And the news is this, that God can save you. God can save you from your sins. Paul said in the book of Romans that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Remember, God's grace is God giving you something that you do not deserve. And God's grace, men and women, is greater than all of your sin. It doesn't matter tonight how great your sin has been. It doesn't matter this evening how riotous your lifestyle has been and your whole life has been. God's grace is greater still. You look at the words there at the end of verse 1. This man receiveth sinners. You know, that was said about the Savior as an insult by the Pharisees. This man receiveth sinners. And the idea there is that he receives the worst of sinners. And that's true, men and women. That is the reality. He'll receive the worst of sinners. And what that means is that he'll receive you tonight. Whoever you are and however you've lived, if you will only come to him for salvation. The final thing about the prodigal, just quickly, is his loss. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. His loss. Here's a young man, and in that far country, he lost everything. Now just take that in. Everything. Everything that he had. Lost all of his money. Lost all of his father's inheritance. That small fortune. A third of the inheritance of his wealthy father. He scattered it all in that far off country. Sometimes the expression is used to people, they drank the place or drank away the place. Well, he did the same or something similar to it. Everything that he had. Lost it all. Lost his home. Lost his friends. He lost his food. Just picture him. He's out there in the field. He's out with the pigs. He's among the swine. All the dirt and the smell and the filth. And he's so hungry, he's starving, that he kneels down at the pig truck and starts to eat the swill, the food that the swine did eat. Lost his food, lost his comfort, and even lost his good name. Isn't it interesting if I could focus on the friends? Isn't it always the case when you have plenty of money, you have plenty of friends? But when the money goes, the friends go as well. You know, one of the lessons of this story, men and women, is sin does not prosper. Sin is a hard taskmaster. The scriptures teach that the way of transgressors is hard. It's a hard life being a sinner. And the prodigal learned that. And he learned it in the bitter school of experience. There's an old gospel hymn that says, sin will take you further than you want to go. And that's really what happened. That was the end of the prodigal son. The Bible says of Barabbas that he was a robber. And remember that sin is a robber too. Sin will rob you. It will take from you all that you have. And if you're not careful, at the last, it will take your soul as well. His loss. You know the worst thing about this young man is he was lost himself. He hadn't just lost everything. He was lost also. And how tragic that is, men and women. Look at verse 24 of the chapter. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Look at verse 32, similar words. It is meet that we should be make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The young man was lost himself. This is a chapter of lost things. I emphasized that to you just before we read the passage. Let me impress it upon you again. This is a chapter of the lost sheep, the lost silver, the lost son, the lost things. And if you're unsaved tonight, men and women, I want you to know that this is your condition. You're lost. This is your present condition. You're lost right now. But you're in danger of being lost forever. You're in danger of your soul being lost in hell for eternity. And how awful. How awful, men and women. How awful that would be. The blessing is this,
The blessing is that there's one who's seeking for you. Just rejoice in that tonight. You're lost in your sins, but there's one that's seeking for you, and that's the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 19, verse 10, that lovely gospel text, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why was the Lord Jesus born? Why did the incarnation take place? We think of that at Christmas time, the birth of our lovely Savior. Well, he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in our tonight, in this church service, this gospel meeting, he's seeking for lost souls, and he's seeking for you. He wants to save you in this gospel service tonight. So I want to urge you not to run away any longer. I want to plead with you. Return not just to your earthly father. You know, when a prodigal leaves home, sometimes there's that break in the fellowship, the break in the relationship between a child and his parents, whether the child is a boy or a girl. Sometimes there's the break in the relationship. Isn't it tremendous that in this story, all the time the son was away, the father was waiting, the father was watching. The passage says that when the son was yet a great way off, his father saw him, his father knew him. How did he see him? Well, he'd been watching. He'd been looking for the son. So sometimes there's a break in the relationship, and that physical relationship needs to be restored. But I urge you not just to return to your earthly father, return to your heavenly father tonight. Come to Jesus Christ and ask for mercy, and ask for salvation, and ask for his forgiveness. I'll finish with this thought for you. Ask yourself, it's a question that sometimes arises in relation to this story. Was the prodigal son saved at this time? Whenever he came back from that far country and restored to fellowship in the home with his earthly physical father, was he also saved? Did he also come to Christ, get right with God? I believe the answer to that is yes, he did. Yes, he was. If you look at verse 18, he says, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Isn't it interesting? When he came back, he didn't just say, I have sinned before thee. Before he even mentions his father and the relationship and how he treated his father, how wrongfully he treated his father, even before he mentions that, his eyes are on heaven. He's looking up to the Lord. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I believe he did get saved, men and women. He acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged his sin both to his earthly and to his heavenly father. So I want to urge you tonight, prodigal son or daughter or brother or sister, whatever your description in this meeting or listening to this service might be, I urge you to confess your sin tonight. Confess your sin to God, to your heavenly father. Ask for his forgiveness. He has promised, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you confess your sin to him. Get saved. Get right with God. Return to your father's house. Father's house in the sense of the house of God. Often when the prodigal gets away, they get away from the Lord's house, their attendance, their worship in the Lord's house. So return. Return to your father's house and return to your father. And in returning to your father, you can return to the service of Christ in your father's house. So we urge you to do that tonight. So here, men and women, according to Charles Dickens, the great English writer, This is the best short story that you will ever find in the English language. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. May the Lord use his word tonight to his own glory. 269 very appropriate words. We'll just sing a couple of verses to close. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Verse 2, I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. So those two verses, 1 and 2 of 269, will stand as we sing, please. Ask the Father to speak on, to use your word. Thank you for your presence with us tonight, your speaking voice. We pray there'll be some in the meeting, some that have heard the message, that will come home, that they will return to their Heavenly Father. We pray that they will repent with those bitter tears. They'll experience the forgiveness of all of their sins. We pray for every prodigal and all of our families connected with this church. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement of this portion of your word. And we pray, Father, that you'll do in every family what you did for this father those many years ago. We pray that the sons and the daughters might return, not just to the physical relationship, but especially that spiritual relationship with thee, our God. Lord, hear our cries. Speak on now, we pray. We commit ourselves, each one, into your keeping as we go from the house of God. Grant us a real sense of your presence. And we pray that you'll spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease. And until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.